Good morning, everyone. Welcome each one to the service this morning. Special welcome to our visitors. Very glad to have all of you here. I'm going to be looking at Proverbs 4 this morning for a devotional. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27. This is a passage that I know I've spoken on before, but it's one that I think has a lot of practical life lessons for us. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I was blessed with a thought in the devotional this morning of, I guess you could say, owning our salvation. Not being just something that we say we believe, but actually realizing that the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, the things that we do reflect the reality of what is inside us. So we can say that we're a Christian. We can say that we believe in God. But if what we're actually doing does not reflect that, then our heart is not right. I like how this passage here in Proverbs leads out with my son. It's a relationship. God isn't standing over us, hovering over us with a stick, just waiting for us to mess up, so that he can come down and whack us good. Oh, yes, finally I get to punish. That's not how God treats us. It's as a love of a father with his children. He's one who cares. God wants you to be happy and fulfilled, and we find that in him. And he says that these words that he's saying that these things that I'm telling you, these are precious. You keep them close. You pay attention to what I'm telling you here. God's words are life, is what it says in verse 22. These things that I'm telling you, they're life to those that find them. Over in John chapter 1, verse 4, talking about Jesus, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life is light. And we find that in Christ. A little bit farther back in John chapter 10, in verse 10, it says a little bit more about the life that Christ is. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So it's not just life. It's not just a little bit of life. Not just enough so that we're hanging on by a thread. But it's abundant life. And what does that actually look like in a Christian's life? Well, too many times, what we take as life in Christ is what I would call intensive care. Where we're hanging on by a thread. We're being kept alive by machines. We're just barely there. We don't have abundant life in Christ. And again, that's going to show in your actions. But it starts in your heart. If you're not personally invested in God's grace in your life, if you don't personally recognize the depths to which you could sink without his grace, you are not experiencing his life when he gives you that grace. In verse 23 here, it talks about your heart. Keep your heart. What is your heart? I believe your heart is your true self. At the very depths of yourself, it's what really actually drives you. Now, often, you tell yourself, you give yourself a reason for the things that you do. You say, I'm doing this because of, you know, whatever. But often, very often, there's a much, much deeper reason. And too often, The reasons that we give ourselves are simply excuses. And we say, does it really matter if I do this? Why would it matter if I did this? And we don't actually look at the depths of our hearts and see what it is that's driving that decision, what it is that's actually motivating me. Often, we're motivated not by Christ, but by people. We're motivated by them in fear. What are they going to think of me if I do this or if I don't do this? Or am I going to look odd if I don't follow this fad? Am I going to be weird if I don't have this app on my phone? Am I going to be left behind if I don't keep up in whatever way? And we're being driven by people. But we won't tell ourselves that. No. Because we know that that's not good. So we'll tell ourselves things like, this enables me to stay connected. This helps me understand people. This is just, we'll go to the excuse thing. There's really nothing wrong with this. But we're not looking at the actual motivation, at our actual heart, where our motivation is people, not Christ. Because if we're motivated by Christ, we do what he wants us to do, and then let the results speak for themselves, not worrying about people. What our heart is the person we really are, and it's the person that we're becoming. So the choices that you make for your heart right now are the choices that will affect you down the road. And I saw a really good definition of self-discipline here the other day, and it said, self-discipline is making a good choice for the future you. Often we like to make choices for the me right now. This is what feels good. I don't want to dig deep and discover what actually drives this, because that's uncomfortable. So I'll make this little puffy decision that makes me feel good right now, when it's going to very, very adversely affect me later on down the road. We need to think ahead with that and recognize that our hearts are worth guarding, and it's driving the people that we'll become. We protect the things that are valuable. It says to guard your hearts. Matthew 15, I'm going to turn there. Matthew 15, verses 10 through 11. This is talking about the things that come out of your heart. And this is why it's important to guard them, because the things that we harbor in our hearts are the things that we actually do. Matthew 15, verses 10 and 11. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Now, he was specifically speaking about the old law here, but the same principle applies to the things that affect us physically or externally and the motivations that drive us. So he says that the things that you're experiencing, that's not what determines who you are. What determines who you are is the things that are inside and coming out. And then a little bit farther down here, in verses 18 through 20, he says, these are the things that are coming out. These are the things that matter. Verse 18 in Matthew chapter 15. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Again, he was referring to the old law, that just because somebody ate without washing hands doesn't mean they're unclean. But there are things inside a man's heart that, when acted upon, those show the true you. So that's why it's important to guard your heart, because the things that we allow into our heart grow. And if we allow something in there to grow, it's going to manifest itself. And if it's an evil thing, it's going to manifest itself in an evil way. Verse 25, I like that. It says, stay focused. It's easy to be distracted by what's around us. There's a lot of political turmoil right now. I mean, there was an assassination attempt on one of the candidates last night or yesterday. It's easy to get unsettled by things. What about just the world in general? We see turmoil all around the world, wars in places that we thought were stable. And bringing that even closer home, We get distracted simply by the things that we do. Often it's not deliberate. We don't just not want to think about the things that are important, but we don't. We allow the little right now decisions to dictate where our future self is going to be instead of making good future decisions and allowing that to dictate where I am right now. Your soul is what's important and the souls of others. So be focused on these things. And then it says, ponder the path of your feet. Examine the way that you're going. Examine what you're doing. Think. And think, young people, I'm going to tell you this especially, but it's true for all of us. Think two steps ahead of the decision that you're making right now. We know that's true in a financial sense. When we spend money for something, we have to think about the things that we're not going to be able to spend that money on now. If I'm going to spend my money on a new gun, what are the other things I'm not going to be able to spend my money on? And maybe that's what maybe that's a good decision. I'm not saying that's here or there. I'm simply saying you think about those things, because when you do something, it has a ripple effect. It continues to affect us. So some of these things that you might think are little minor decisions aren't. Because two steps ahead, they become a major decision. And that's true for all of us across the board. Think about the things that you do, because two steps ahead, it might be a major decision. It might be a thing that you say right now, well, it's not a hard issue. Well, two steps ahead, it might be. So think about that. Don't just react, but think ahead. Victims react, but conquerors plan. Plan out good responses to temptations that we might face. In Luke chapter 13, I'm going to turn here as well. We're not always our best selves, and that's simply the truth. And so we need to plan for those times when we're not our best selves. I'll just give you a little personal example here. Got my little son here for the first Sunday this morning, so that's pretty exciting to me. But last night was not a good night for him, which means it was not a good night for his mom and dad. And this morning I was tired and cranky and felt like my head was stuffed with cotton. I was not just the kind, loving father to my other children that I should have been. There are times when I make good parental decisions, and then there are times that I do not. And so it's important for me to recognize in mornings like these that I'm not going to be making good parental decisions if I just react right now. So what are things that I should do when I'm tired so that I can react well? And I have to plan ahead, because if I don't, I react poorly. And I would venture to say that I'm not isolated in those responses. So we plan ahead to times when we're not at our best selves. In Luke 13, verses 23 through 24, says, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." That word strive, that's a habitual verb. What that means is we keep trying. We don't stop. One mistake doesn't end it. That's where grace comes in. We can repent and God will take us again. And he'll take us from there. But we have to keep striving. A habitual verb means it keeps going. You don't do it one time and now you're good. Strive. Those who have been Christians all your lives and you're now 80 years old, you still strive. Those of you who have just become Christians, you strive. Those of you who are in the middle of it, you strive. And that's what we do as Christians. We strive to enter in at the straight gate. It's not a one and done. But the glory of that is it's also not a one mistake and done, because Christ takes us from there. We continue to strive. Stay focused on God, and he will give us our best life.